This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Yeah, baby, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. General at your service. Salute to you. Thanks for making us part of your day. There's Brian Broaddus in his LSU hoodie. He's ready to broadcast with you talking football here. Krusty's Corner coming up 3:40. Lucius Alexander is ready to go. Five flawless hours of radio producing, engineering, and hosting. He's in the Pimp Cup, keeping the Gators down best he can. Of course, you do have Eric Chiafalo, but Wolchuk is out. There's a surprise for you. Send him some love on social. Our Wooly Bully's not feeling great today.
You know what, Dawson? I'm just going to have to say this honestly.
Say it. Call him BS.
I've started watching college players.
Yeah.
Kind of talking about him yesterday.
Uh-oh.
You guys were interested.
Yeah.
Looked over at my man. Had a little FOMO, I believe.
He was throwing snake eyes.
You think
eyes?
He's playing catch up on the watching tape today?
He's got his daughter in one arm, and he's like watching Penn State linebacker right now as he's... as he's kind of taking care of the kiddo,
yep.
But he's starting to break down tape.
Is that a second round stand up inside linebacker or an edge?
No, this is an edge and probably a top 10 type of a player for you, right?
Top 10 edge out of Penn State?
Yeah. Wow. Where's number 11, by the way, too?
Of course he does.
That's kind of a famous number there now. You know, LeVar Arrington, I think it goes back.
Does he
to
have
him.
His own podcast?
No, I don't think so.
Is he a managing editor for...
No.
A content creation website?
No, I can right. check all these
full-time
things.
Football player?
Full-time football player. We'll see. But, I'm thinking that Wolchuk, I'm thinking he's, oh, man. We'll cough.
Flu-like symptoms.
He's got flu-like symptoms for draft coverage.
He's got the draft flu.
He's catching up is what he's doing.
Well, because you guys also have this little battle of like, well, I've watched this many guys. Oh, well, yeah. I've watched this many guys.
And it's not a battle.
You're it's the inner competitor inside of you both. I think it's...
I will punish him watching healthy. Players. Yeah.
I know you will. Yeah. I mean, it's who you are. It's what you do.
No, and there's levels to this game.
He's good at it, but he's not as good as me.
Of course he's not.
I'm the king of this show when it comes to watching.
Have you ever had a pupil
right,
study more players than you?
I'll tell you what, Aisha Morrison, she got pretty. You know, she did the draft show with us for 2 years over there at DallasCowboys.com, and I think the second year she knocked out darn near 280 players. She just went at it. And you know, every day she's like, "Hey, but what about this guy? I need this list. Can you give me this?" You know, she was working at it pretty hard. But yeah, it's usually somewhere around 200, 225. You know, that's where you kind of get the number.
Well, it's an exciting draft year. I always look at it like the higher the Cowboys pick, the more interesting the content is. You know, so I plan for a lot of coverage of it, and cannot wait to hear your scouting reports.
Well, thank you. And the seven players that I've seen so far, I've got to start back at it again tonight. I looked at Houston's offense. We're going to do that in the corner today
at
3:40. But yeah, the thing about the drafts, if Dallas has a top 10 pick, and I've seen seven players so far, all seven players look pretty worthy to being consideration there. So that's a good sign just to start right off the jump.
Got to get these right. And if you do end up losing out and you have the one pick, I think you really got to look at trading down. I don't think drafting a quarterback will be a consideration seriously for the Cowboys. Brian, would you?
I think
that would take a lot of moving around trying to.
Yeah. If that quarterback was there And you guys know money better than me. I'm going to act like, I mean, I really don't. I mean, I got people listening to the show that can call and tell me, hey, you know, you're wrong about this. And they do quite a bit when it comes to that money. But is there a way to kind of draft a guy and then go through a year and eat money, you know, pay that salary and then the following year think about doing something?
You know, you could post June 1 him and break it up over 2 years if you wanted to do that, but that would be insane at the beginning of a new contract to post June 1 him. You know,
if you did it after the first year of the deal.
Oh, after the first year of the deal, so you use it as like a bridge situation?
Yeah, use it as a bridge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could look into it. It seems pretty tough to pull off right now. You know, maybe if you found a team that really, really wanted Dak and was going to trade for you, and they're compensating you for eating so much of his contract, right?
Right.
In tons of dead money. So they're getting Dak at significantly less than what you would have to pay him. I would think the draft compensation for that would be significant, you know? Yeah. But then you have to offset, like, how many teams would want to trade for Dak Prescott off of this injury at age 31. I don't know what the market would look like. It seems like when we talk, like, hey, would this coach like Dak? Is Dak considered an asset? I thought that was a great question to our guest yesterday. Like, and Mark Schlereth said yes. You know, if he's an asset and you could trade him and essentially get compensated with draft capital for eating so much of that dead cap money before he moves on to his next team, maybe a team would find value in that. But I would just think, like, if Dak's going to play poorly, right, you're going to be in a situation to draft another quarterback in 26 or 27, you know. And in the meantime, if he's playing poorly and you're drafting in the top 10 or top 15, you could build out a heck of a supporting cast for that, you know, next quarterback coming in down the line. That's how I'd look at it.
If you weren't willing to take one in the first to be your backup guy, what round? Do you have a round?
Like, 5.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just taking a shot in the dark here at a guy.
So you're gonna
one of those. I mean, you got a bunch of fifth round compensatory picks this year.
You're not interested in a 2 or 3.
We need
5.
Wide receiver. We need running back.
Okay.
You know, we don't have a 4 now.
Yeah, and I think also because you'd only have that guy for 4 years as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's
with the
good
you know
point.
With the timeline stuff.
You live that with Dak.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you didn't have that.
You want that clean start and that opportunity to wreak havoc with a guy who's on a rookie salary scale. Tremendous entertainment value last night with the Mavs and Warriors once again. Couldn't make shots down the stretch. Things did not go this way. Hopefully it's a trend that ends quickly. After the game, Klay Thompson, who was 6 of 12 from downtown, said, I'm really proud of how this team keeps fighting. I keep telling them it's better to go through this early compared to game 60. There's some of that veteran championship leadership.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. They just needed a couple more shots down the stretch. I know, Dawson, we were all kind of talking about it in the pre-show.
Yeah,
you know, I just remember at that point, 3:58, when the Luka had the turnover. You know, the Mavs were up, and Luka has the turnover.
Curry picked his pocket.
Curry got him, and you're thinking, man, that could be, if you hit a three, that's a 10-point lead. You know, it was kind of in my mind, like, just go down there and bury these guys. Bury them.
Yeah.
And then Curry gets the turnover. And then, yeah, Dallas had some opportunities, but, man, it just seemed like the game flipped in those last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
After that turnover, I think you could have killed, sports killed the Warriors there.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have just gone there and got a basket. And Luka missed he had a turnover and he missed 2 shots down the stretch too. And that, you know,
he had no legs.
Yeah.
He was toasted.
Yeah. He really was.
Yeah, you really have to look at his cardio as maybe a reason why they're faltering down the stretch in these 3 games. Obviously, not having Kleba in Washington is massive, and you don't want to overreact to a team that doesn't have its players. Come on, Suns, Nuggets, and now Warriors, like, in the last minute, if you just make a shot, you could be on a 3-game winning streak right now and have, a record of 8-3. I mean, so this is a tough place to be in, but I think you got to take the good and look at the balance of the season and say they're going to get this figured out. It's just unfortunate they can't have that exciting start that I know a lot of us were hoping for. Luka, Kyrie, and Klay combined for 74. Steph had 37, though, including the dagger 3, capped off a run of 12 consecutive points from Steph for the Warriors in the clutch, and they got it done. I mean, it was just incredible sports theater to tune into everything that went down last night.
Yeah, like Steph was channeling his top tier self, and you could tell that this game mattered. For as much as it mattered to Klay Thompson,
yeah,
it probably mattered. It felt like it mattered even more to Steph and Draymond. I mean, that was a turn back the clock game for Draymond last night. It felt like he was
energized
everywhere. And then for Curry to be late in the game, it was frustrating to see, like, gosh, what is this guy, 36 years old, and he's not huffing and puffing. He still has his legs underneath him, and prime Luka Doncic can't muster up anything in the fourth quarter. That was a bummer.
Why did it feel like, I mean, I know that Golden State had a lead, and it seemed like they got Curry far more rest than what the Mavericks were able to get their guys.
Well, and that's a huge problem right now for the Mavericks. I mean, with kids calling out the bench because of it.
Yeah. The bench got outscored by 20 last night. You know, I mean, but the thing about it was, it just seemed like to me that Curry was sitting there quite a long time, and Luka and Kyrie are having to go at it. You know,
I mean, Luka played 41 minutes, and Steph played 35. So there's obviously a big difference there. And Steph, in a game that was a three-point game, Steph was plus 24.
Good God.
He was sensational last night. And you could see the immediate impact of Derek Lively in late games. You're constantly wondering, like, should Gafford be in there? Because the Derek Lively impact is huge, and I think that has a big reason to do with why you lost these last few games while he had been out. The big men had been crushing you in the paint and all that kind of stuff, but I'm still optimistic that this is all going to settle and be fine.
Small sample size, injured players. Yes. Luka, one of five, 2 of 7 overall, 1 of 5 from 3, 2 of 7 overall from the floor in clutch time the last three games.
Because he's exhausted, and he's having to play 40 minutes a night, and he's just not built for that. I mean, that's three games in a row now with 40 or more minutes for him.
Yeah, you're right. He's not built for that. I feel like in the offseason, Luka probably, you know, did a good job with his diet, but not with grinding the cardio. And if you have a cardio situation like this, and I knew it was a problem at the point in the second half when they go to the timeout and Luka's trying to holler at the refs, but he's doing the old man YMCA resting with his hands on his knees things, looking up at the ref. And he's trying to talk, but he's having to catch his breath at the same time. And I'm like, man, this is just not what it should be. You know, and I think at one point, it's sometime mid to late 20s when he starts to slow down a little bit. He's going to be like, oh, I have to take this more seriously. And he'll start working hard throughout the offseason to make conditioning a strength. You have to look at your biggest weakness as a competitor and try your hardest to turn it into a strength. And I just don't think it's there yet. I did really like the Warriors play in court. That is cool. I think everybody's play in court looks pretty cool.
Except for the Sixers.
Boston's kind of looked kind of weird.
Yeah, there have been complaints about some of them, but I like the style. You know, I think it's just it's different. I would never want to go away from the old hardwood look totally.
Sure.
But more of this is cool. They can't build any sort of urgency or relevance about the play-in tournament. I think you just do it for a number of years and see if it catches on for anything. And now if there's a sponsor tied to it, I think it's probably sticking around for the long haul. Spurs announced Greg Popovich's absence was due to a mild stroke.
Jeez.
So best of luck to him there down in San Antonio. Yeah. Some Cowboys updates coming in from practice. Tyler Smith working off to the side today. Apparently he's got a little something. They opened Chuma Edoga's practice window, and we're keeping an eye on Tyler Guyton. That'll be an interesting situation. Like, could Richards press Guyton for playing time legitimately? How do you manage that?
Yeah, I think to me that it's, you know, it's, I'm always about trying to, this season is, in my opinion, is lost. They won't say that over there, but in my opinion, I think there's some things when we get to, again, in 340 that you could attack this Houston Texans from a defensive perspective, and I think there's some things you can do. The offense on the other side, it's just without the quarterback play, it's not going to be any, you know, it's not going to be easy at all. So if you can kind of keep the young guys playing, Guyton playing, you know, allow him, BB, those guys, but also if you can work in, you know, keep working in Awesome Richards and stuff like that, you know, if it turns into, you know, having to kind of substitute guys,
yes,
maybe a series, I would do the same thing at left cornerback with, you know, McQuamu and then Carson. I'm not just going to put Carson in timeout because he's had some rough games, but
agreed.
I would start McQuamu, maybe a series, another series, a a third series, and now put in Carson. And it kind of put, just kind of give him the opportunity to see some things, play special teams. And when he gets in there, you know, it gives him, it still gives him hope. I don't want Carson going into the offseason being like totally beat down. I would like for him to maybe have some type of thought that, okay, I battled. It wasn't good the first half, but the second half, I kind of learned my way. And then he goes in with some positivity for 2025. I don't want him to be beat down and everybody talk about him as all they did was throw the ball at him. And he has to hear that the whole offseason. Now try and get a little positivity for the kid.
Yeah, this is your chance to develop. You're a draft and develop team. You're not going anywhere. You're going nowhere. This is the ultimate developmental season. So as many young guys as you can get in there, you absolutely should be doing that.
Right.
Yeah, it's all about development, man. I think if you could find some plays for guys, you never know when a light bulb's going to go on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that's thinking, would I sit still and put Guyton at right tackle and let Richard stay at left?
Yeah, I think all that should be on the table. Okay, and let's try to have a run game. I would love some, you know, some read option stuff with Trey Lance.
Yeah,
let's get that in there for quarters at a time and see what you could get going. It'd be really interesting. It's an opportunity for the coaching staff to try to figure out some things as well. Anthony Richardson back as the Colts starter. I think you're going to get more of that in NFL News Today coming up at 3 o'clock. Said he was grateful. 60 on soccer, actually 16 on soccer right here. ESPN released their top 50 players in women's soccer around the world. The USA has four of the top 17 players. Sophia Smith at 5, Trinity Rodman at 8, Mallory Swanson at 15, and then Lindsey Horan at 17. That's a big improvement from the last cycle when they were waiting for these youngsters to come into their own. Okay, we got G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. A little college football next, Chief.
Yeah, let's do it. Takeaways from the latest college football playoff rankings next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're on the Fan.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation and G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com, Chief.
I love when we get these texts. 601 said, yeah, Sonic is cool. Let me get a BLT and large onion rings, extra crispy, a lot of ketchup. And then they follow up with, damn, Ron text, LOL. I can't tell you how often we get that. It cracks me up. Yeah. It's a decent order. I would have probably gone with the Supersonic cheeseburger, though.
Yeah,
that Supersonic cheeseburger is always getting it done.
Yeah, I saw that 601 say, damn, wrong text, LOL. And I was thinking, wait, what was this wrong text? So I scrolled down and pretty funny.
The old Sonic order. Yeah. He's doing it right, though, getting them extra crispy on those onion rings. Okay, is the College Football Playoff Committee doing it right? After the latest rankings, Oregon 1, Ohio State 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4. Then you get Indiana 5, BYU 6, Tennessee 7, Notre Dame 8, Miami 9, Alabama 10, Ole Miss 11, and Georgia 12.
I know Phil Knight's throwing around a lot of money there at Oregon, but as a guy that covered that football team for over a decade, know Autzen quite well. I can't imagine it that they have managed to secure the kind of trench play that it's going to take to actually be the best team in the country.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Dan Lanning has done a pretty nice job putting that team together, and he's a great coach because they seem to be getting better. I know, Broadus, you've talked about that. Like,
yeah.
No team has really improved as much as Oregon has seemed to from game one to now. But they were able to beat Ohio State. They are undefeated, and it's fair that they're sitting there at number one. But they're definitely not like a, oh my gosh, powerhouse. Everybody knows that's the team. But with the way things are shaken up and with the way the SEC is right now and how everybody's just beating up each other to some extent, Oregon's sitting there with the beautiful bagel in the loss column. So
yeah.
They stay at number one, but there were a couple of, I mean, Georgia goes from number 3 to number 12 after losing to Ole Miss. Miami goes from number 4 to number 9 after losing to Georgia Tech. And then you had Indiana and BYU both jumping up 3 spots after they both just probably played their worst games of the season. Eke by, but they somehow jumped Tennessee for whatever reason. So yeah. Those were some of the bigger complaints. And Georgia beating Texas at Texas, yeah. And Texas being 3rd and Georgia still at 12.
Yeah.
Georgia's, it's all the marbles games now for Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia's got a big one this weekend with Tennessee coming into town. That, you know, that could be an elimination game for them for sure. Texas at Arkansas, that's kind of a sneaky, you know, Arkansas has been a little bit hit and miss with the way that they've played this year. So I'm anxious to see how those games turn out. I was curious about Penn State. Because I've seen him now a little bit on tape, just on defense.
Why would they be at number 4? It makes no sense. Their best win is what, versus USC?
Yeah, that's it right there. And that happened in October 12th. So they've you know, the Ohio State loss was one of those kind. You know, they always seem to lose one of those types of games. Losing Ohio State. The problem is with Penn State, they've got at Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland left. I don't see them losing the game now. Things happen. Strange things happen when you go play at Minnesota. We've seen upsets, you know, happen with that crew. But I just kind of feel like that Penn State's going to be in this playoff. That was a team I was questioning a little bit, but after seeing what the schedule is now,
they should be in there. But to be number 4 is hilarious.
Well, they beat Illinois at the time was 19, so they've Illinois game was very, very early in the season. It was like week 4, and then they played USC 2 weeks later. I don't think USC was ranked at the time. They might have been, but I just know that Penn State's caught a little bit of a break not having to play some other teams.
Yeah, definitely. And Georgia on the opposite side of the spectrum having just a gauntlet of a schedule. And now they're having to go on the road every time. At least they get Tennessee at home this weekend.
All of Georgia's, like I say, they had the win at Texas, which was good. They lost at Ole Miss. You know, they've had a difficult. They were at Alabama, right? That was another one that they had to play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, they've had their road has not been easy for them at all.
No, it has not been. And Kirby Smart is actually getting a little bit trolled now on the internet based on some of his reactions because they had the kid who celebrated with some Ole Miss friends that he had after Georgia beat or after Georgia lost to Ole Miss over the weekend. And that was like a huge story. And it seems like he's coming down harder on him than he has in the past on all the guys that continue to get arrested and have off the field troubles. And so like what's going around right now is this first clip, which is an old clip of Kirby Smart addressing things after another player had been arrested.
One thing is disappointed. You know, anytime you have a situation like that, you want your kids, your players to make better decisions.
Okay, so
auto racing guys?
One of the 50 that have taken place over the last 2 years for them. So that was his response to that. Then here's his response from this weekend after one of his players celebrated with Ole Miss after Ole Miss beat Georgia.
What an idiot. I mean, just stupid.
So those two videos, those two side-by-sides are going viral right now. And it's not fair to him, but that is a pretty funny quote there. Just an idiot, just stupid. Who are you talking about? Oh, yeah, one of my players.
Yeah.
Now, you also have, speaking of stupidity, the throwing things onto the field. Did you guys see the BYU cheerleading coach like got taken out by a bottle that got thrown onto the field on Saturday? That's what took place. So it's right after BYU wins 22-21 and things start to, you know, get a little bit crazy with the people in the crowd.
Was it like a plastic bottle? Because BYU don't sell alcohol in their stadium.
Well, this game was at Utah.
Oh, was this at Utah?
Yeah, this was at Utah.
Okay.
So
people, yeah, she says water bottle. You know, but yeah. A heavy water bottle coming down?
I was wondering, the video is a little tough to see. But she apparently gets hit in the head and then immediately falls right to the ground. And I was wondering, okay, is this a glass bottle? Is this what was in? Because you wouldn't think a bottle of water necessarily would just like totally KO you.
If it's got stuff in it, it's.
Yeah, if you get hit by the point, especially by the cap, you know, and a full water bottle is a couple of pounds.
Yeah.
Kid was coming in hot.
Kid probably has one hell of an arm.
I saw our trainers at LSU in 82 get hit by oranges. Like if we win the game against Florida State, we're playing in the Orange Bowl, and they bought every orange in the city of Baton Rouge and brought them to the games. They hoisted the cheerleader up. They put her, and then got everybody took, like they were throwing at her.
Oh no.
Yeah. I mean, and then
the LSU cheerleader was getting thrown at.
Yeah. But with oranges.
Wow. Like,
she got hit a couple of times. They had to bring her down. Our team, our trainer, Doc Anderson, like an orange came from the upper deck and hit him in the face.
Ooh.
And he's like, "You bastards!" He's like shaking his fist, you know. But you can tell he's like on the sidelines, and all of a sudden you see it, and it just like hit him in the face. And he just like he turns, he's like shaking his fist.
Yeah.
But people were just like, oranges were crazy. We were warming up before the game.
Be deadly. You know,
yeah, seriously.
We were warming up.
Not a laughing matter.
Snap the ball and then throw four oranges away. Snap another ball, throw four. Those things were hitting like shot puts on that grass field.
Wow.
But you could see the indention.
Yeah. And the coaches didn't try to stop the game?
Heck no.
Nobody tried to stop the game?
This is like 1982, man. Well, this is not.
That's awesome. No. Well, the person that threw it was an 18-year-old kid, and he's since been arrested.
There you go. Wow. It's time now. Thank you for that college football, Darty. Time to go into the Pimp Cup. Well, Lucius, how's your G-Bag of the day?
And I have not been arrested anytime soon. All right, let's see here. How you boys doing? How everybody out here?
Doing good.
Yeah. Terrific. Great. All right, everybody out here? Great. Y'all seem real chill in there. You need some coffee or something? What's good?
Mail it in Wednesday, you know?
There's like a massive pizza in there, and none of us can have any of it.
No, we can't have any
of it. You ever take a nap, and you emerge from it in that day, and you're just kind of like foggy?
Still kind of groggy.
I'm up late for the Mavs game. Don't usually do it. Up at 6.
Okay.
So I got back, and I went back to sleep, and I'm still waiting to hit that gear.
I hear you, bro. I hear you. Yeah.
You're like trying to kickstart that mini bike.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah, it's just slippery. Just real slippery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Our winner right here for G-Bag of the Day comes from the RJ and Choppy Show. Which one of these fools is Chop? Jerry Jones joined them, which made headlines. But anyway, here's how it started.
And I know Jerry would say this when I signed up for, but I do respect him just showing up for all these interviews while all this is happening. Like, this has to be a beating. And he's putting his jaw out there after the game twice a week with us. That's gotta stink.
There's you always say this in gambling, boy, when this game, you know, it's a bad loss, you got kicked right in the you know what.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been getting kicked there.
But he's showing up for it.
Uh-huh.
And he takes the questions, so that's gotta be difficult. Yeah, I do respect that.
People pay good money for that.
Getting kicked?
Oh yeah.
It's kinky like RJ.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Let's bring in Jerry Jones, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to be on with you. And I was listening to you there in your monologue real good. And you got me really good and softened up. So let me have it.
The voice inflection there from Jerry is amazing.
Yo, man.
I think him saying you monologue real good was his way of saying don't leave me on hold for so long.
Yeah.
He did, man. Yeah, there's a little side busted in there. That's you monologue great. Real good. I heard you. Been waiting for my time.
It's my time now.
All right, let's see here. Had a couple glasses on, can't see.
Not to be trite.
Not to be trite now.
I love it every day you come in here and you wonder, maybe I will be able to see that computer. Maybe. Will today be the day?
Maybe. Like, I had carrots last night. Maybe I'll be all right. ESPN 100 replayed this yesterday. The Chicago media, mm-hmm. They've had enough of Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
We got to pull those.
Oh, yeah. I should probably set that up for you a little better. How about my fastball is not there either, Darren Dawson?
Hey.
Yeah.
Who's company?
Matt Eberflus. He was on the phone with ESPN 100, and he had a janky phone connection. And the Chicago media is just tired of the Bears anyway.
We got to pull those experiences.
Coach? Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now.
Jeez.
All right, we'll put him on hold and see if we can reestablish.
Jeez, man.
Oh, dude.
Jeez.
That's great.
Do you think he heard? I mean, he had heard after the fact.
Yeah, I've heard it now.
After the fact, yeah. Yeah.
Might be the last time they do that coachy show for a number of reasons.
Greg Olsen. You know, Alvin Kamara dropped the ball the other day. Y'all guys seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. He had it right there. It was in the pocket. Dropped right up out of there. Then he did the look at my hands. Yeah. Oh, my God. My hand.
13 fantasy points out the window right there.
Ouch, man. I'm sorry, fam. I'm sorry to hear that.
It sucks, dude. That's how you watch these other teams. These players, you're like, how it impacts me. Like, I'm being selfish about this, but come on,
nah,
Alvin.
Nah. I get it, bro. I get it. Streets got to eat. But listen to this.
Yeah, Caden Ellis, number 55. He's playing for the choice route. He's thinking that Kamara's going to break in, break out, and instead he just runs right by him. Just that's Aaron Judge dropping the ball in the fifth inning of the World Series. There's really just no explanation.
Yeah. Aaron Judge is sitting watching TV like, what? Oh, come on, bro. Like Leonardo DiCaprio, and you point at the TV like, what you talking about me?
Yeah.
He's mixing a drink, and he also snaps around.
Exactly. Like, man, come on, bro.
I was hoping 55 would run in there like he denied it. Like, no, maybe a throat slash.
And
seat like,
belt.
Yeah. Locked him up.
How much time we got? How about this one? Well, this is not one.
Winner.
Nah, it's not one. It's not one. But this guy was glazing Coach Prime on a Paul Feinbaum's show, and then a cat popped up.
Deion Sanders should be up for Coach of the Year. Oh. Will you shut up? I'm trying to talk to Paul.
Hey, Vance, who is there?
Yeah,
it's
my
me.
Damn
Hold on one
cat.
Second.
Stand up.
Oh, okay.
Cat, yeah. Paul's concerned.
Who was our? Who was there?
The official talk show of the SEC, that Feinbaum show.
He is.
That's a great
Freaking
show.
Hilarious.
He is,
the callers.
Yeah.
The callers make
it. The callers from places I've never heard of in Alabama coming out with their opinions. It's amazing.
Let's go to Sawdust, Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
On a landline.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys climbed up on a pole.
It's kind of like what you're drinking, what you're thinking, but instead of the drug being booze, it's SEC football.
Yeah.
Just means more, Dawson.
Yeah, I know. More. I know.
Yeah. Let's see. I can do one more, man. King LeBron James. My mother-in-law hates that that king name. King James. Who does he think he is? Who calls himself king? Like, you are hating right now. That's some big time hating. Who does he think he is to call himself a king?
And the chosen one on tattooed on his back.
Oh my God. That's some big time hating right there, Michelle.
Do you encourage her? Do you draw off side solutions?
I just laugh at her.
Okay. I thought maybe you're like, hey, what about that LeBron?
LeBron lied again. Look at this.
Yeah, look at this. What about this? Some king, huh? Is this your king?
Yeah. Don't you wish he would just shut up and dribble?
Yeah. That's what you want to say. All right, King James came through for some guys' parlay, Eric.
What was that moment with the fans to get that final rebound? Speaking of rebounds down the stretch, and you point at him.
Boy, yeah, he definitely yelled at me, got my attention, said, one more rebound. I was like, what? He was like, one more. So I got one more, and I pointed at him to acknowledge that I was listening. him. So I appreciate it to that guy.
Nice, dude.
Just like that, he's back in my good graces. Never told you how much I loved King James.
I love it. King James coming through on the parlay. You had a glazing of Dion on the Paul Feinbaum show, interrupted by a cat.
Meow.
You had Greg Olson calling the Kamara drop. You had ESPN 1000. They've had enough of Eberflus on his bad phone connection. Jerry with RJ and Choppy. You monologue real good. Okay. Yeah, this is good. I'm gonna go with ESPN 1000 there, GFL. How about you?
I'm gonna go with the champs.
Okay.
Champs is here.
Yeah, Jerry.
By a score of 3-1, still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Jerry Jones introduced with the RJ and Choppy show. Okay, coming up next here on The Fan, Mike Sando of The Athletic joins us for a football conversation here on your home of the Cowboys. Thank you, Lucius. In his 27th season covering the NFL with The Athletic now, he's a Hall of Fame selector, a Pro Football Writers of America board member, an AP Awards voter. It's Mike Sando here with you on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Mike. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thanks. We always look forward to all your pieces, especially the quarterback tiers that you do. And wondering, after what we've seen from Dak this year, how do you think he'll slot in for next year's tiers?
I think people know what Dak Prescott is, so I'm sure he's always been right around 10th or so in the league, you know, solidly in tier two. I think he'll slide a little bit. He's obviously not going to go up, but I don't think, you know, people are going to totally reassess Dak off of what was kind of a down half season for him, with a lot of weird stuff going on with the team. So he is what he is, and it'll probably be reflected as a lower tier two, possibly this next year.
Off the injury with the contract that he just received, will that be something that incoming coaching candidates will look at as a positive? Is that a selling point, or is that less of an asset now?
Probably a selling point, because I think most usually when you take over a job, a lot of times you have no quarterback, right? You know, with Dak Prescott, we can criticize that he hasn't got over the top, or is he worth $60 million? But you can not have a losing record with Dak Prescott, right? That's the first thing a lot of these coaches are thinking about, is am I going to get fired in 2 years because I didn't win any games? So I think Dak Prescott in general will be seen as an asset for a coach coming in, because he's a good quarterback.
Mike, is this a good job? And I know there's only 32 of these in the league.
Yeah.
But is Dallas a good job?
Yeah, I think they're all different, and they all have their own challenges and things that in a lot of cases you don't think about because they're not as overt. I think Jerry Jones's presence is so obvious to everybody that we can all see it. But when you take the job in Cincinnati, or you take the job in New England, or you take the job in Seattle, or where, any of these places, there's things kind of behind the scenes too that affect that job in ways that we don't talk about every week, because the owner who puts limits on what you're going to do isn't on the radio every week. No one really knows, right, what the parameters are, or the way the building works, who really has power. You go to Atlanta, you know, Rich McKay's there. He might have the owner's ear. Is that good? Is that bad? Right? I think they all have their own challenges, and the Cowboys is just a little bit more visible. So, you know, it's not going to be for everybody, but I don't think it's a deal breaker to get a good coach.
Great perspective here from Mike Sando of The Athletic here with you on The Fan. Who should Cowboys fans be hoping for out of all the potential candidates out there?
Oh, wow. So I would maybe be hoping for something different. Like I think the Bill Belichick thing would be fascinating, because they did Bill Parcells before. It would just be different from kind of the way that it's been set up. I'd like to see a little tension, or a little bit of, a little bit of a bigger fish in that chair with the dynamics just tested. I think that would be interesting. What do you guys think? Would that be fun? Or are you looking for the next hot offensive coach to get something out of Dak? I guess it kind of depends what your perspective is, what your interests are. But for me, from afar, I would like something that kind of shakes it up or challenges it.
Yeah, great offensive coach, youngster, I think would be great. After that, the intrigue of what Belichick could possibly do, I think would be, you know, a terrific story for us to cover, Mike, from the media perspective. Holy cow.
It would be really fun. I think the thing with those types of coaches, or, you're always then, okay, what comes with it with a staff? Do you want to there do the go. Whole yeah. New England coaches there and Josh go. McDaniels and all that? There, all of them could be a good coach. It's just we saw that movie at the end, you know, and I think that's the concern for me. With any coach you bring in, it's always a concern of what the staff's going to look like. But with some of those established guys or older guys, you know, I think sometimes you just know what you're going to get. And it's less exciting than if, you know, there was a little bit of unknown.
Looking around the NFL right now and seeing Caleb Williams struggle the way he is, what do you think is the issue there? Is that Caleb Williams? Obviously, they're firing people. What's the problem?
Well, definitely he's a part of it. If he was playing, he could play better than he has. I think they seem like a team that maybe bought into the off-season narratives that they were kind of putting out themselves about, hey, we've had multiple years to build this roster. The offensive line is going to be good. Look at all these weapons. It's the best setup for a number one pick in years. You know, all of that stuff is great until you have to play the games. And I think they've maybe found out there's a gap between what they were hoping for. Then beyond that, I do think the accountability factor is a big deal. And so we saw, I believe it was Keenan Allen was asked about, hey, what went wrong with Shane Waldron, the coordinator they fired it. And he actually came out and said, accountability. He let things slide. Well, to me, that's a little bit of the Matt Eberflus feel I get as well, is just some coaches have an easier time enforcing accountability, being accountable themselves publicly. And it feels to me like they've lacked that. A little bit. And so you've seen in critical moments of games, the defensive back is over there cheering with the fans, you know, when they're trying to defend the Hail Mary, or there's another play where the receiver just sort of jogs out of bounds and yeah, he might have hurt his ankle, but it was just a bad look, right? Or they call the wrong play. They hand off to the offensive lineman at the goal line and it goes awry and they say we would do it again. You know, I mean, can we at some point along the way have some accountability for what's going on? So that's what it feels like a little bit, just looking at it.
Mike, did you have a chance to see Micah Parsons' comments that he made talking about, was giving Zach Martin praise, but, you know, he kind of gave it the higher pay grade. How did you interpret that? And, and where are you on, like, we always want these players to be honest until they're honest. You know, where are you on all that? I mean, you've done this for a long time.
Yeah. So when I first read it and saw the way that it was portrayed in writing, I thought, ooh, it's kind of a zinger. And then when you saw it, you just felt like, okay, you know, in it from a strategic standpoint, could he have probably phrased that a little bit better? I didn't come away from it thinking he was trying to take a shot at McCarthy. I think my sense was the gist of it was, hey, Mike McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. He's an established guy. He's a made man in the league, right? We got guys on this team that are, you know, that it's a different outlook for some of these players and they may be down to their last year or whatever. That's kind of how I took it. You know, I don't know what the dynamic is behind the scenes. If he doesn't have his coaches back or any of that stuff, I don't really know, but I wasn't super offended by it once I saw him. And then he came out and talked about it. You know, I'd be more apt to side with him than the instant Rex Ryan reaction where he just flies off the handle and calls the guy, you know, insubordinate or something. I didn't get that sense.
Mike Sando of The Athletic with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What are you seeing with Jaden Daniels and just the evolution of this Kingsbury Commander offense right now? Is it here to stay?
So I've been super impressed, like everybody, out of the gates. I mean, I think they did a better job than anyone. He's a very talented player. He's not just a runner. I think he's a good passer, too. But, you know, when you have 52 quarterback runs in the first five games and then you got hurt ribs and teams coming at you a little bit differently and you run him half as much in the last five games since then, that's what we want to know. Is it going to be second half of the season quarterback attrition? We've seen that with Cliff Kingsbury before. What does it look like over a five-year period? Not that Jaden Daniels can't be good or won't be good, but there is a sustainability factor. We were a little concerned just because, you know, he's a little slight of frame. I don't care what his height, weight is. I felt the same way about like an RG3. He could be 6'2", 215 pounds. He looked like I was a little afraid when he got hit. So that was a little bit of a concern with Daniels coming in. I think it has to be proven out. But we've seen enough in the first half of the year to be excited and think they've got something here. Sustainability, I think, has to be proven.
Mike, what do you think about Tyson and Paul Friday night here in Texas?
Okay, so I was a huge boxing fan and kind of a student of boxing, even 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't know what happened. I got married in 2000. I haven't been watching boxing since then. Maybe there's a correlation there. But
I hear you.
But I was always the guy back in the 80s who was, yeah, Tyson's good, but Ali was better. I can confess that I was a little bit of a 70s era defender of the boxers. So I have a little bit of a bias. I thought Mike Tyson was really good, a great fighter, but was overhyped. I felt like the mythology of I'm going to crush you wasn't really the truth when he fought real guys. I mean, he knocked some of them out, but there was a number of guys who could go the distance with him. So I can't imagine at age 58 that he's going to be that good. But I have no idea what Jake Paul is. I haven't watched him. I don't know if he's a legitimate fighter. I think if Mike Tyson fought a real heavyweight contender, I would be scared for him right now at his age. But this one, who knows? Maybe he knocks him out. The other thing I thought of was, like, you know, I was a big Foreman fan. So when Foreman came back in his 40s, is Tyson at 58, is he in the same condition? Have we gotten to a point where a 58-year-old guy can be in the condition of a 45-year-old guy 20, 30 years ago? Is that possible? That's one thing in the back of my mind I wonder about, because Foreman couldn't move and was slow, and he would get hit. Tommy Morrison hit him. You know, Holyfield hit the snot out of him, but he could take a shot. Now, could Tyson be like that? I don't think he could ever take a shot like Foreman. I just don't think he could. So I think if you hit him, especially at this age, I think he might go.
Mike, we knew that we love talking football with you. Now we love talking boxing with you, brother. So thank you so much for terrific amount of time.
What's your guys' pick? How do you think it goes?
Tyson, give me Tyson.
I grew up with that mythology around Tyson and, you know, just loving it and celebrating it. So I'm just hoping that my childhood dreams don't get crushed.
Yeah, Mike, I've stood at barbecue pits in college, and the guys say, hey, the Tyson's fight start. And I'm like, okay, let me flip this. Tyson fight's over, you know. So, yeah, I'm.
Hey, my cousin missed the Spinks fight.
You can miss a lot of them.
People over.
Yeah,
$5 a pop. He went to the restroom, missed the fight. So he was a badass.
Yeah,
in his day. So absolutely. We'll see.
Absolutely. Love it, Mike. Enjoy week 11. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, we'll see
you. Mike Sando, Athletic, here with you on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And it's always impressive, you know, the depth and the layers that he goes into with his answers. Okay, Chief, what's next?
NFL News of the Day featuring your football sounds of the day, plus the Rich Get Richer next year in the nation.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.